up, you beautiful bastards? Hope you're having a fantastic Monday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. And the first things we're going to talk about today are actually two stories connected by one topic, and that is breastfeeding. And the lighter of the two stories actually involves Chrissy Teigen. Yesterday, she posted this photo of herself breastfeeding with the caption, "Luna making me feed her baby doll, so I guess I have twins now." And while there was a lot of love for that photo, it had almost 3 million likes. It also resulted in people attacking Teigen. In a now-deleted tweet, someone wrote, "I think it's perfectly fine for women who breastfeed in public. They are doing it because they need to. When you post on social media that you are doing it, it comes across as narcissistic, though." To which Teigen responded, "Nah, just chilling, posting daily life like I do with anything else. Cooking, playing with dogs, etc. You make feeding a baby a big deal because you got weird titty issues." Another writing, "Christ in the handbasket. Menstruating, childbirth, and sex are natural too. But that doesn't mean I want to see pics of it and or celebrities like Chrissy Teigen taking a bath or nursing. We get it." To which Teigen replied, "I don't care to see grainy fireworks, Coachella selfies, or infinity pool pics, but I let people live. Calm your tits and scroll on by." And this isn't the first time Teigen or her husband John Legend have posted anything and there being some backlash. And there were similar reactions, people saying the breasts need to be kept private, inclusion of talk about modesty. But my personal takeaway is I'm glad Teigen and others share photos like this. And it's not for like any weird, creepy, sex-related reason. I think it takes away the stigma of breastfeeding. Unfortunately, it is very easy to find stories about mothers who are shamed because they're breastfeeding. Various stories about women in public, even women who are not with their babies but need to pump during work hours. And so I personally think that any attempt to simply normalize feeding a child, I think it's good, especially in a post like this where you're not making women who don't breastfeed feel like monsters. But of course, like with every story we're talking about today, that's a story, then my opinion, and of course, I'd love to hear from you, even if you don't agree with me. So let me know in the comments down below. But that said, let's talk about the second story around breastfeeding because it becomes a much bigger international issue. In the spring, the United States participated in a United Nations-affiliated World Health Assembly. At that assembly, Ecuador proposed a resolution to encourage breastfeeding. The resolution saying that mother's milk is healthiest for children and countries should strive to limit the inaccurate or misleading marketing of breast milk substitute. And while it was expected to pass quickly and easily, that is not what happened. Reportedly, U.S. officials wanted to remove language that called on governments to, quote, protect, promote, and support breastfeeding. And this reportedly on top of wanting another passage removed that called on policymakers to restrict the promotion of food products that many experts said would have bad effects on young children. Those propositions were then met with pushback, and then according to a New York Times report published on Sunday, the United States then allegedly resorted to making threats specifically against Ecuador. Allegedly, if Ecuador refused to drop the resolution, the United States reportedly stated they would unleash punishing trade measures and would withdraw crucial military aid. And according to the Times, the issue was recounted by more than a dozen participants from several countries, many of whom requested anonymity because they feared retaliation from the United States. But then, and get this is where it gets really interesting. What ended up happening was that Russia ended up being the country to introduce the resolution, and the United States allegedly did not pressure Russia to back down from the measure. And that final resolution also reportedly kept a ton of the original wording. But the United States was successful in getting rid of language that called for the international health body to provide technical support for nations seeking to stop inappropriate promotion of food for infants and young children. And with this specific story, there are two main focuses. And the first I'll mention isn't actually even limited to breastfeeding, and that is just the negotiation tactic. This is something Patty Rendall, the policy director of the British advocacy group Baby Milk Action, chimed in on, saying, "We were astonished, appalled, and also saddened. What happened was tantamount to blackmail, with the U.S. holding the world hostage and trying to overturn nearly 40 years of consensus on the best way to protect infant and young child health." But the big focus there is what has been seen as blackmail. That if you don't vote our way here, you're gonna hurt somewhere else. But on that specific note, we shouldn't be surprised because the Trump administration has done this before. One of the most notable in front of the camera ones had to deal with a Jerusalem vote in the UN. You had Nikki Haley saying they were gonna take names of countries voting a certain way. Trump, of course, saying, "Let them vote against us. We'll save a lot. We don't care." But this isn't like it used to be where they could vote against you and then you pay them hundreds of millions of dollars. We're not going to be taken advantage of any longer. So whereas many people will see this situation as another example of blackmail, it appears that Donald Trump's mindset is, why are we going to help you if you're not going to help us? But also, this current situation seems to be an escalation because it's not just withdrawing support. It's the alleged threat of punishing trade measures being added. So you have that part, but then of course there is the actual breastfeeding part. An anonymous spokesperson for the Department of Health and Human Services downplayed the situation, saying the resolution as originally drafted placed unnecessary hurdles for mothers seeking to provide nutrition to their children, adding, "We recognize not all women are able to breastfeed for a variety of reasons. These women should have the choice and access to alternatives for the health of their babies and not be stigmatized for the ways in which they are able to do so." But still, you had some saying that the Trump administration, all they're doing here is that they're lining themselves up with corporate interests. And in the articles and criticism, we saw Donald Trump this morning tweet, "The failing New York Times fake news story today about breastfeeding must be called out. The U.S. strongly supports breastfeeding, but we do not believe women should be denied access to formula. Many women need this option because of malnutrition and poverty." And so that's where we are right now. We'll have to wait to see what happens next. But that's why I say this is a story about breastfeeding. But it is also a much larger story about how the U.S. is dealing dealing with international allies. But from that, I want to share some stuff I love today. And today in Awesome, brought to you by BetterHelp.com/DeFranco. And BetterHelp, if you do not know, is the fantastic place where you can get affordable private online counseling. You get access to licensed, trained, experienced, accredited psychologists if you need it, marriage and family therapists, clinical social workers, and board licensed professional counselors. And to get started, all you've got to do is go to BetterHelp.com/DeFranco. You fill out a questionnaire, they match with a counselor. You could start counseling today. And really leaning into the affordable aspect, if you think money is an issue, you can see if you're eligible for a financial aid discount. And so if that sounds like something you'd be interested in, after today's show, just click that link in the description down below. And the first bit of awesome is we got some Ant-Man and the Wasp goodness, thanks to Vanity Fair. Did the director break down the kitchen fight scene? We had EMT giving us the smoke meat bagel cone. We had extra credits giving us a video on the 1918 flu pandemic. Then we had Caleb City giving us a short on games where the world stops during dialogue. Then we got a trailer for the new kids movie Wonder Park. We got a new behind the scenes video for the new Mission Impossible movie. Then we had Gal Gadot putting a little more awesome into the world. This weekend she went to Inova Children's Hospital in Falls Church, Virginia. She was fully decked out in her Wonder Woman costume to meet up with kids and staff. Reportedly, she brought coloring books, toys, autographed photos. And what I will say is, while there is always that tiny cold part in my heart that's like, oh, I bet this is just for good PR. But still, overall, I can't deny that this is a great thing. She didn't have to do this, and it provides a really nice moment for a lot of people going through really hard times. And additionally, I bet it was probably a really awesome experience for the real world heroes, the men and women working at that hospital, to have for a day. And if you want to see the full versions of everything I just shared, the secret link of the day, anything I really talked about today, links as always are in the description down below. And then let's talk about the massive updates with that story out of Thailand where you had those 12 young boys and their soccer coach trapped in a cave for more than 2 weeks now. Now, when we last talked about this story, there was tragic news. A former Thai Navy SEAL officer by the name of Saman Gunan, who volunteered to help rescue these boys, ended up dying himself when he ran out of oxygen. But since then, thanks to Gunan and so many others who are trying to help, we've just been getting so much good news. Over the last 2 days, as of recording this video, 8 of the 12 boys have been rescued. We learned on Sunday 4 of the boys had been rescued. They were taken by ambulance to a local hospital for recovery. And according to initial reports, the rescue effort went even smoother than they expected. Following that, 4 more boys were taken out of the cave this morning. And that rescue run was reportedly even quicker than the first one. And after this latest round of rescues, they put everything on hold, but it is expected to resume in the next 20 hours. So right now, things are looking very good, but they still, of course, need to rescue the next 4 boys and their coach. And as far as the condition of the boys who have been rescued so far, not a ton is known. According to officials, all of the boys who have been rescued so far are in good condition. Although, according to reports, the boys who were rescued on Sunday were in a bit worse condition than those rescued Monday. And as of right now, they are reportedly being held in quarantine. And so as of right now, that is where we are. Hopefully, the next time we end up talking about this story, there's even more good news. But also with this story, there was a note I wanted to hit on because there seems to be some confusion with some people. Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk has been tied in with this story. On July 3rd, someone tweeted Elon Musk saying, "Hi, sir, if possible, can you assist in any way to get the 12 Thailand boys and their coach out of the cave?" Musk responds, "I suspect that the Thai government has this under control, but I'm happy to help if there is a way to do so." That then sets off this chain of events where Elon Musk and others are talking about pumping water out of the cave, building an air tunnel. All of a sudden, that turns into, what if we made a mini sub, essentially for a small child? On July 7th, Musk tweeting, "Got more great feedback from Thailand. Primary Path is basically a tiny kid-sized submarine using the liquid oxygen transfer tube of Falcon rocket as hull. Light enough to be carried by 2 divers, small enough to get through narrow gaps, extremely robust." Then fast forward to Sunday, we see Elon Musk tweeting out videos where it looks like they're testing this in a pool. But the big note there as well that is fascinating and really interesting to watch, that is not how the boys in Thailand are actually being rescued. And it's also not a misconception that Elon Musk is promoting. On July 8th, Elon Musk retweeted a post about how an operation had begun and wrote, "Extremely talented dive team, makes sense given monsoon, Godspeed." But this is also why you're now seeing some people saying that Elon Musk is exploiting this tragedy and the fear around these young boys as a marketing opportunity. And actually, in response to one of the critical tweets that read, "Gosh, feel like you need to leverage every public situation for your own aggrandizement much? You do know there are hundreds of experts already working this across multiple countries, no? Hashtag narcissism." Elon said, "If I am a narcissist, which might be true, at least I am a useful one." And as far as why Elon and the team have moved forward with this, even though the boys in Thailand are being rescued by other means, on July 8th, we saw Elon tweet, "Mini sub arriving in about 17 hours, hopefully useful. If not, perhaps it will be in a future situation." Now, as far as how the boys in Thailand are actually being rescued, we've learned a few details, 2 divers for every boy being rescued. The boys are wearing full face masks and being given multiple wetsuits so they can regulate their body temperature better. But like I said, that is where we are. This is kind of an offshoot of the main story, but I do want to pass the question off to you. How are you personally receiving Elon Musk's continued connection with this story, even though the boys are currently being rescued right now by other means? Do you feel that it's still motivated, as in, let's continue to put this out because, hey, worst case scenario, this is available? Or are you of the mindset that this is clear exploitation of a tragedy? I'd love to know your thoughts and the reasons you have behind them. And that's actually where I'm going to end today's show. And remember, if you like this video, you like what I'm trying to do on this channel, hit that like button. If you're new here, hit that subscribe button, ring that bell if you want notifications.
iTunes.
It makes it that much easier to not miss these daily videos, which actually, if you did miss the last Philip DeFranco show, we're back to 5 times a week. We had a Friday show. If you want to catch up, all you gotta do is click or tap right there to watch that. Or if you want something lighter, we have the newest behind-the-scenes vlog. You can click or tap right there. But that's it, of course. As always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.